The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Wall Street Journal, AARP Bulletin, Kiplinger Personal Finance, and continuing our readings from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. Our first article from the Wall Street Journal, would-be homebuyers move money elsewhere. Americans are postponing their housing searches by years, not months. Would-be homebuyers are giving up on the housing market and finding other ways to use the money they have been saving. With mortgage rates near 8% and average home prices hitting record highs, sales of existing homes were down 15.4% year over year in September, according to the National Association of Realtors. Those facing one of the worst ever times to buy instead of rent are deferring their first house hunts, not just for a few months, but for years. Others locked into low mortgages are also realizing they're stuck in their starter homes indefinitely. Some of these people are putting money that would have gone into a home into their relatives' future. There was a 15% increase in the number of new 529 college savings accounts opened in the third quarter from a year ago, according to data firm ISS Market Intelligence. Others are taking more expensive vacations and shelling out for extensive renovations and decorations for their current spaces. Homeowners spent $489 billion on improvements and repairs over the 12 months ending in September, according to Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies, which is a 5.4% gain over the previous period, on top of a 17% gain the year before. These consumers are helping fuel a spate of increased spending in the U.S. that has confounded economists who were predicting a recession less than a year ago. People are taking their frustrations out by using that money on vacations and enjoying life, says Jamie Batmere, the chief investment officer at wealth management firm Creative Planning. Unlike the equity they could build through a mortgage, that money is gone, and it's never coming back, Batmere says. Beth Mihalik thought moving back in with her parents in 2020 would enable her to put the thousands she saved on rent towards a down payment on a first home. She's still renting. What would have been a sizable amount down in 2020 or 2021 now barely put the smallest dent on anything that one might consider decent, the 41-year-old Mihalik says of her search. Mihalik, who works in higher education, recently sat down with a financial planner to map out what retirement could look like while renting instead of owning a home. In the meantime, she's investing more in what she finds meaningful, including a $2,000 trip to see Dolly Parton perform and contributions to college savings accounts for her two young nephews. Definitions of success. Katie Burke, a consumer behavior researcher at Accenture, says the unaffordability of the housing market is leading people to read just their definitions to readjust their definitions of success. We used to be able to work a few years, save for a home, and get our independence, Burke says. That mental model is shifting. Karen Lindsay, age 50, would know. She got married in her early 30s and bought a four-bedroom home with her then-husband. Over the next 20 years, she got divorced, sold the home, went back to school to become an assistant professor at Elon University, and got stuck renting. Lindsay says her only regret is that home ownership no longer feels possible. She has dipped into her down payment and fund repeatedly in recent years, first to finance a move to Burlington, North Carolina for a job, and then to help pay off credit card debt and cover restarted student loan payments. By your 40s or 50s, you're supposed to own a home, and I'm not there. So have I failed, says Lindsay? A market out of whack. The price of housing ordinarily goes down when mortgage rates increase, says Marco Gialetta, a housing studies professor at the University of Southern California's Marshall School of Business. That hasn't happened. The average monthly new mortgage payment is now 52% higher than the average apartment rent, according to an analyst by commercial real estate investor CBRE. That's worse than the lead-up to the 2008 housing market crash, when the premium peaked at 33%. Though houses don't always shoot up in value over time, home ownership is a way of putting people on firmer financial footing over the long term. We're eliminating one of the key savings vessels for a much wider swath of the population, Batmer says. Kevin and Emily Herte expected to spend the next year after getting married this spring researching a home of their own. After calculating that their $2,500 monthly rent in Rockville, Maryland, would translate to paying over $3,500 a month on a 30-year mortgage, the couple delayed their search. We started crunching the numbers, and math doesn't lie, says Kevin, a 29-year-old architectural designer. The Hertartes have dipped into their new house fund to pay for an upcoming road trip out west and splurge a bit more than they had planned on their honeymoon. We feel like we have all this money and have nothing to do with it, Emily says. Stuck in a starter. If Andrea and Brad Rosel knew when they bought their Raleigh, North Carolina home in 2016 that they would still be living there now, they would have chosen differently. It's not a dream house, says Andrea, a public relations consultant. Still, they feel lucky to have it, especially after Brad got laid off. The three-bedroom they paid $285,000 for has almost doubled in value. After an unsuccessful hunt for a bigger house, they decided to spend around $50,000 renovating, including $10,000 on a new bathroom, $30,000 to update the kitchen, and a few hundred to repurpose the playroom into a lounge space. We finally accepted that it's not going to be a year where the market is like this. It's going to be many years, Andrea says. Our next article from AARP Bulletin. This is under the category of Fraud Watch. Can a crook steal your entire home? Yes, via a rising fraud involving bogus deeds. Stealing a wallet, a cell phone, a car, these are threats we all understand. A thief grabs and flees. But in a rising form of fraud known as deed theft, criminals have found a way to steal no less than your home and land. Though it is still a relatively uncommon scam, deed theft cases are popping up across the country. There are two typical variations. In the first type, thieves forge a deed that transfers ownership of a property to them. They file the deed with a county clerk who records the sale. Then the property is quickly sold to an unsuspecting purchaser. In the second type, crooks trick a homeowner into signing a deed to transfer ownership, often by promising to help refinancing a mortgage or paying overdue property taxes. Shirley Gibson, 88, is among those who have been targeted. She owns an empty plot of land in a historically African-American section of Miami. In 2021, Gibson went to pay her taxes and learned that they had already been paid by a stranger. Property records showed that she had sold the land for $230,000. Scammers had forged her signature, created a fake deed, and taken her land. Gibson immediately hired an attorney and filed a complaint with law enforcement. I guess they thought, because I'm old and an African American, they would be able to pull that off, Gibson says. They were wrong. Two men and a woman were arrested and faced criminal charges related to the scam. Still, Gibson had to go through a complicated civil court process to get her property back. And anxiety lingers. You have to be very vigilant, she says. They might try it again. Other recent deed fraud cases include, in Washington, D.C., Robert McLeod used fake driver's license to pose as two older homeowners who had paid off mortgages. In both cases, McLeod assumed the owner's identities and transferred the deeds of their homes so he could sell them. His scam netted more than $580,000 before he was caught and then sent to prison for 18 months. In another Miami case, prosecutors say Tom Roy Jenkins used a fake driver's license and drew up fake documents to pose as the son of a woman in a nursing home, illegally transferring her house to him, then trying to sell it. Jenkins has pleaded not guilty to felony charges. In New York City alone, there have been more than 3,400 recorded complaints of deed theft since 2014, according to the state's attorney general. Older people are often at risk to be targeted, says Jay Inwall, director of economic justice litigation at Legal Services New York City, which helps deed scam victims. That's because they more often own their homes outright. Those who buy a property from a deed theft scammer often become victims as well. Greg Bouget bought a parcel of land in Fairfield, Connecticut, from a man who claimed to be the owner. Bouget and his partner started work on a 4,000-square-foot home they planned to sell. But it turned out that the real property owner was a Long Island doctor, who only found out about the fraud when he was told that someone was building a house on his land. The case is tied up in court, Bouget said through his lawyer, that he may never fully recoup the hundreds of thousands of dollars he paid out of pocket for the project. Maureen Coquez in the New York City's Sheriff's Office says many can't afford a civil lawsuit, which is often needed to regain property ownership. Unfortunately, getting your property back often comes down to dollars and cents. Our next article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, The Benefits of a Trust. This estate planning tool streamlines the process of transferring assets to your heirs. After you pass away, your family may have to contend with probate, in which a court reviews and distributes your assets. Once any taxes or debts on your property are paid off, your beneficiaries receive the remaining assets. The process can be lengthy and expensive, especially if you didn't leave a will behind, and the details become part of a public record. If you want to simplify and privatize the process of passing on assets to your loved ones, consider putting the property in a revocable trust. When a trust owns or has title to assets, those assets are considered to be outside of the probate estate, meaning they will pass to the designated recipient without the need of court oversight or control, says David Dufault, an estate attorney and principal attorney at Sodoma Law in Charlotte, North Carolina. With a revocable trust, also known as a living trust, you can change the terms or revoke it at any time. Setting up a trust. With the help of an estate attorney, you can draw up a declaration of trust, a legal document that determines how the assets will be held in your trust. As the trust creator, you are the grantor. During your lifetime, you'll typically also want to be the trustee. That's the person who makes decisions about the trust. If you're married, you can name your spouse as co-trustee, and you'll also designate a successor trustee who could manage the trust in case you reach a point that you can no longer make decisions for yourself. The people who are to inherit your assets are beneficiaries. After you die, your successor trustee divides the assets in the trust according to your wishes. Once you create the trust, sign it with a notary public as a witness. Next, you should transfer your property into the trust. To put your home in the trust, you'll need to sign a new deed that names the trust as the property owner. For example, the property's owner may be listed as John Smith's Trust, dated September 21, 2023, instead of John Smith. To put bank and brokerage accounts in the trust, you'll have to open new accounts in the name of the trust. If you have physical stock and bond certificates, you may need to enlist the help of a stock transfer agent or bond issuer to change ownership to the trust. If you want to add personal property, such as jewelry or collectibles, you probably don't need to retitle them, but you should write up instructions that they are to be included in the trust. Don't put a health savings account or retirement account, such as a 401k, an IRA, or tax-deferred annuities in a trust. The transfer would be considered a distribution, and you would owe income tax on the entire amount. You can, however, designate your trust as a beneficiary of your retirement accounts. Once you transfer property into your trust, store the documentation in a safe place, such as a safe deposit box, and keep a digital copy securely online using a service such as Dropbox. You should also give copies of the documentation to your beneficiaries. Fees and taxes. The complexity of the trust and the location factor into the fees and your location factor into the fees you'll pay. Attorney fees to draw up a revocable trust may range from $1,500 to $2,500, and deed transfer fees may be from $500 to $1,000. Taxation varies by state, but some general rules usually apply. During the time the grantor remains in control of the assets owned by a revocable trust, the grantor is still taxed as though he or she is the owner, says Dufault. All income and deductions from the trust are reported on your tax return, and you pay tax at your personal income tax rate. And also from Kiplinger Personal Finance, use a great grace period to your advantage. 'Tis the season that many shoppers are charging more than usual on their credit cards and potentially racking up interest charges on their balances, too. Paying credit card interest is more painful than it was just a couple of years ago. Since early 2022, the Federal Reserve has lifted short-term interest rates from near 0% to a recent range of 5.25% to 5.5%. As a result, credit card rates have jumped too, reaching an average of more than 20%, according to the Fed. One way to avoid paying interest is to take advantage of a credit card's grace period. That's the time between the end of a billing cycle, when your statement is made available to you, and your payment due date for that cycle. Credit cards aren't required to offer a grace period, but most of them do. If you aren't carrying a balance from previous billing cycles and pay off your balance in full by the due date, you won't be charged interest on your purchases. If you carry a balance from month to month, you lose the grace period and accrue interest immediately on purchases until you pay off the balance. Depending on the card, you may have to pay off the balance in full for one or two consecutive months before the grace period is restored. Cash advances and balance transfers usually aren't eligible for a grace period. Your card issuer must mail or deliver your bill to you at least 21 days before the due date. If you want to maximize the interest-free period on a large purchase, Charge it to your card early in your billing cycle. That could provide you with nearly 2 months to finance the purchase with no interest. And from AARP Bulletin, it's an interesting article, especially for this time of year. Ways to save at department stores. Because of the internet, the pandemic, and many other factors, the number of department store businesses in the U.S. has dropped by more than half in the past 10 years, according to IBIS World. Rest in peace, Lord & Taylor's and Sears. How I miss you. Despite the industry's struggles, department stores are still a great place to shop and save, especially at this time of year. But unlike warehouse and big box stores, which advertise everyday low prices, department stores make you work the angles. And there are lots. Here are my favorite tools for shopping at the country's largest department stores. Note that I'm not including store credit cards. The perks may be good if you don't carry a balance, but with their high interest rates, just missed one payment can wipe out all of your savings. And the first one reviewed is Macy's, the Star Reward Program. It gives you access to discounts and the store's Star Money credits, which are good for 30 days that you can spend both in-store and online. And Macy's Sale Days, special markdown events happen frequently throughout the year, including friends and family, one-day sales, and lowest prices of the season events with markdowns of up to 60%. Also, don't miss Star Money Bonus Days, when loyalty program members can rack up points faster towards Star Money. And Macy's Backstage. Many locations offer this TJ Maxx-like discount department. Also, don't miss Last Act clearances. And the Macy's app. Once it's on your phone, you can access your rewards account, Star Money coupons, and more. And the next store is Kohl's. Special sales. Like other department stores, Kohl's has dozens of sales and special store events, including clearance and friends and family sales, which happen multiple times a year. It also has item-specific sales, including semi-annual bra and shoe sales. Last year, it offered dashing deal days in November, along with the usual Black Friday and other holiday sales. You can keep on top of the action by downloading the store's app to your phone or by visiting Kohl's.com. Under Shop by Category, click on Sale, and then also must-have prices or clearances and closeouts. And Kohl's wallet on the app. You can access all of your rewards and coupons there. You can even use the wallet to load gift cards and paper coupons. The app also gives you free shipping, plus alerts about sales and expiring coupons. And Kohl's Cash. For every $50 you spend at Kohl's during special sales events, you get $10 in credit, which can be used during redemption dates marked on the cash. Kohl's Rewards. You get $5 Kohl cash for every $100 worth of purchases, plus extra coupons. And then senior discounts at Kohl's. People 60 and older get 15% off on Wednesdays at Kohl's store. Be sure to bring that ID card. And Nordstrom's, Nordstrom Rack. The vast majority of Nordstrom's more than 350 locations are Nordstrom Racks, which are like giant clearance sections. As is the case with outlet chains, much of the merchandise is manufactured specifically for the discounter. Look for the Nordstrom Rack tag. And the Nordy Club, with a free membership, you can collect points towards Nordstrom notes to spend in-store and online. Plus, you get free basic alterations on clothing purchased at Nordstrom and access to invitation-only events, such as makeup workshops. You can redeem points faster by downloading the app. And Nordstrom special sales. Wait for the half yearly sales held in early winter and late spring, and the anniversary sale held in summer, which offer free shipping and returns. Nordstrom Rack doesn't participate in these annual events, but you can return sale items to the discount store's locations. And lastly, JCPenney. Sales and coupons in the weekly ad. JCPenney has sales throughout the year. Before you hit the store, scan the weekly ad online at jcpenney.com. The week I was working on this particular story, it featured a Super Saturday sale with a coupon for an extra 30% off. And JCPenney rewards. You get 30% off when you sign up for this loyalty program. Plus, you can rack up points for $10 certificates when you shop and during the bonus events. And lastly, the JCPenney app. You can use it to get deal alerts and find coupons. And as we wrap up our program today, we'll try to squeeze in one of the money hacks from the book Money Hacks. This is hack number 71. Budget your utility bill. If you live in a climate that features roasting hot summers and frigid winters, your heating and cooling bills can be a major stressor month in and month out. Instead of sacrificing your comfort by keeping your thermostat at a level that makes everyone in your household resent you, find out if your utility provider offers a budget plan. A budget plan analyzes your past bills and averages your monthly usage. Then it bills you the same amount each month all year round. You'll have to pay a higher bill during the spring and fall when you're not using your utilities as much, but that slightly elevated bill will be predictable. Then, during those extremely hot or cold months, you set the temperature and forget it. Bonus points if you use a programmable thermostat. There may be a fee to participate, so check those details before signing up. It may still be worth it if you value a steady monthly bill. And one caveat to note, at the end of the year, if your usage varies widely from what your utility provider estimated, you may have to pay the difference. So don't get lazy about where you set that thermostat, even though you're on a regular utility budget. And that will do it for today's episode of Money Matters, because we are out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, and be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and happy holidays.